Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Not in studio with me is Lisa Murphy. Lisa Murphy, how are you and what are we talking about today?
I feel like we need to be doing a vocal warm-up before this particular
episode. Yeah, this is going to be weird. So, go ahead. Yeah, it's going to... You talk and I'm going to look something up.
Well, so we're revisiting the STEM and where it's actually evolved to. When I do workshops nowadays, I don't make it happen, but when it does happen, I'll usually playfully joke with the audience that they want to hear my STEM rant. And of course they say yes, because where are they going to go? And we talk about how, you know, back in the day, which was quite a while ago, actually, if you really start thinking about it, that the concept of STEM, of making sure to intentionally provide more opportunities for science, technology, engineering, and math kind of came about. And people were going to workshops, and there were curriculum kits, and a lot of money was being thrown at STEM, especially girls and STEM, which is a whole different workshop. And then, of course, promptly right out the gate, the art people got, you know, they got upset. They felt left out. And fair enough. And so STEM very, very quickly evolved into STEAM.
I was looking up the episode number. We first talked about this back at episode 211. Now we're on episode, this is episode 453. So over 240 episodes ago is the last time we've officially talked about this. I'm sure it's come up. So for anybody that doesn't know, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math.
I just said that.
Okay, and then we added the art, so science, technology, and engineering, art, and math. And then what did we add?
I think the first thing that got added after that was music. And don't quote me. I don't have the date. But music got added, so we had another M.
So it becomes STEM, science, technology, engineering, art, music, math.
Right. And then reading got thrown back in.
So we got STREAM.
Right? Science, technology, engineering. Science, technology, reading
engineering, art, math, and music. And now some of those reading people, they had to make sure you knew that writing was included in there too, like reading the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Reading and writing.
So I don't know if we add another R for that. Maybe we add another R for reading and arithmetic and the writing, but they're kind of covered in under that R, the reading and writing.
No, listen. We'll okay. Do R to the third power.
Yeah.
Well, that's new. I got to add that to the bit. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Okay, let's keep going. Then relationships came back. Then relationships got added in. You know, you can't forget about that. Just you can't be so overly focused on science, technology, engineering, art, math, music, reading, writing that you forget about relationships. So now we have STREAM with the R to the fourth power. And then the most recent one I've heard, I was at a conference where they did a workshop that added tools as another T. So at the end of the day, we've gone from STEM Terrorima. But I like the art horsepower. I think that's kind of funny. And my bit on this, and I call it a bit just for the sake of conversation, but my take on this and my angle on this is that if you break down all of those things that we've added back in, at the end of the day, now what you're advocating for is a day of play. Mm-hmm. And if we had just left it alone, I mean, I realize not everybody was doing play, but if we had left the people who were alone, we wouldn't have needed to swing the pendulum, I would say push and force the pendulum, back to the other side with all these. And my issue with it a lot is that it became fragmented. These fragmented now interventions. Like in the schedule, it would say like at 10 o'clock we do STEM stuff. Well, my guess is that probably if you were paying attention and the kids just came back in from being outside, there was probably a lot of STEM stuff going on outside. But it doesn't count because it didn't happen during STEM time.
Yeah.
That compartmentalization and fragmentation that continues to just, you know, rub me the wrong way.
Yeah. So if you're paying attention, you see those things happening everywhere. If you're paying attention, you can't help but see this kind of stuff happening everywhere. Going back to the boys with the rope, for what we talked about in the last episode, and that fragmentation. Yeah, instead of having the day divided up into 15 or 20 minute time slots, you had to add this one more thing that we have to get into the day. Got to get some STEM in, and so 15 or 20 minute slots become 10 or 15 minute slots for making sure you can fit everything in. When if you were making big giant slots of time for just play, you'd actually be seeing more of actual learning of all these concepts, because the other problem we've had with this push towards STEM or STREAM, whatever we're calling it, is that we're, instead of letting kids experience these things, we're trying to teach at them. And
yes.
And so the kids become passive observers of these things instead of active instigators of them.
Well, I think about the slime / flubber, you know, craze of 2017. And I had never seen so much organic child-initiated, child-directed science, technology, engineering, and math in a very, 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 very long time. And I found it quite interesting that so many teachers, mostly I'm thinking upper elementary school teachers, rebelled and pushed back against it. Not everybody. I'm not, you know, mm-hmm. painting that general of an arc. But I mean, my niece, it is a personal story. I mean, my niece was making batches of flubber. She was chopping it up into five sections and selling them for $5 a bag at school. And if you break that down, I mean, that's economics, that's supply and demand. I mean, mm-hmm. it's everything. And it was organic and child directed. And I, it might be a little bit of an overreaction, but, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, we stop the play to then do the STEM with them, but yet this was all happening on its own, but then we squish that down. Like, it wasn't the governmental approved version of what STEM should look like.
Yeah, exactly. And so it becomes a lesser version of what they'd be getting if they were actually being the boss of their own play, which, I mean, being the boss is part of play, so let me clarify that,
because you said it backwards. Well, in my head, you said it backwards. I would say that the lesser version would be what the sanctioned version was.
Yeah, that sanctioned version is the lesser version. And I think since we recorded that first episode back in March of 2016 about STEM and STREAM and STEAM, is that you're really seeing in the early learning catalogs there's whole STEM sections. Well, all that stuff was there before. The blocks were there before.
Yep.
The ramps were there before. But now, part of it's become a buzzword, and so that marketing, they put that section in there. And they're even organizing in books. I mean, Red Leaf Press has added a STEM section to their catalog that wasn't there just a couple years ago, because this is a new buzzword. When in fact, it is what we talked about in episode 211 of this podcast. All of that we're talking about is just play. And if we would fucking give kids the right to just play, and the time to just play, they would be learning all of these important things so much better than they are not learning them when we're trying to force them on them.
And all of that said, at the end of the day, if you calling it STEM means that the kids can now have an hour of free play to explore the blocks and the water in the water table with the inclined plane of the gutter where it's coming down, if calling it STEM makes it continue to happen, then call it STEM. That's going to keep that conversation going with somebody on your bureaucratic, you know, ladder. You know, I thought a lot about Mimi Shenfield at the NAYC conference this last week. You know, that great will be the day when we no longer have to defend what we do, but right now we do. And unfortunately, I think she wrote that in a book in like 1996. And point being is that we've unfortunately had to be defending it for a long time. And I will stand by that phrase, is that I wish you didn't, but by golly, if calling this STEM keeps it in the classroom, then call it STEM. And we've talked about that before. You gotta have different tools in your tool belt. If you believe in the action that is unfolding in the classroom, but you need to call it something different to protect it, find out what you need to call it. And I can't say that with, I don't know.
Yeah, but then so, under your breath, say, but it really is just play.
It is, and maybe once the person sees that what so they can then go report back that every day that STEM is happening in their school. Now we're sitting around having a cup of coffee, going, "Fuck it, it's been happening every day in this classroom since the children started coming to this program." But now there's credibility for the lens of the person who doesn't see it on its own. And this is where I know kind of it draws a line in the sand between some of the diehard people and other people. But by golly, at this juncture, call it what you need to call it.
Yeah.
It's play.
Yeah.
But you're not going to develop a relationship with that naysayer by you just going, it's play. You're just going to continue to alienate that person who happens to be in that position.
Uh-huh.
If you can find language, I think language is often that bridge for us to then develop a relationship. Now when that person knows me, trusts me, then we can have that conversation and circle back to, this is play. It's always been play, but right now this is what you have to call it. So that's my little rant that isn't unfamiliar for most of the people.
Yeah.
including you, Jeff.
I've heard it once or twice, but I like listening to it. Hey, so I saw some STEM the other day.
Yeah.
I'm out for a walk with the beasts again, and there were two boys and a girl, probably 6 to 9 years old, and they are playing with a shopping cart. And the game they're playing. The game they're playing is somebody gets in the cart and the others push them down the driveway. And it was delightful because the cart would go off to one side and somebody would panic. And the two that weren't in the cart were kind of trying. They're kind of being like the bowling alley bumpers on either side,
yes,
trying to keep it going straight. And if the bigger the child in the cart was, the faster the cart went down the driveway. And but the harder it was to keep control of it, because the little person was pushing against it, trying to get it back on. But there's a lot more mask. It was amazing. Don't know where they got the grocery cart, the shopping cart, but I mean, just that stuff is all STEM-y. Lots of language going on there, lots of conversation, just about all of those in our stream, just about all that stuff was going on. I didn't see a lot of music, but...
And the four domains of DAP.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I've recently started, if that's your baby, start there. If nothing else, it's amazingly comfortable.
But you chopped away for a little bit. Did I lose you? Hello?
Hello? I'm right here.
You disappeared for a little bit.
Am I back?
You're back now.
Okay. You might actually have to do some edit, or we'll just leave it.
Oh, no, we're going to leave it.
We're just leaving it. But the four domains of DAT, I think, is a really nice entry point. You know, these are the four domains of development. And when your child is good, this is how that links back to all four domains.
Okay,
and I think
them.
Language and literacy development, cognitive development, social-emotional development, and physical development.
And we've got four episodes on those, unpacking language and literacy, unpacking cognitive. That's episodes 139, 137, 135, and 133 back at the pod. And we go through a whole episode and break each one of those down if anybody wants to go back and listen to those for a little refresher on them. Yeah, that's just kind of a lens to run what you're observing through, I guess, huh?
And I think it's practice time then.
Yeah.
For even if you're just doing it for your own self to build up your confidence and to circle back what you said, the observation ability. When I'm observing kids right now playing in the classroom, what am I really seeing? What am I seeing? What else can I call that?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that you have to start calling it that, but it means you're developing more confidence for when that person walks in the door who you might feel challenged by, or that you might feel that they don't see what it is that you see. It's practice, 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 practice. When we are doing this, we are learning about XYZ, and it's linking back to one, if not all four, of the domains of DAP.
Yeah, yeah. And it really helps you fight your corner when you're trying to defend your practice and your beliefs and your philosophy and your mission when you have that language and you've kind of done this kind of practicing and observing and those kind of things. It really helps you defend yourself when you need to. And it helps you bring converts into the high church of play.
Because I used to say there's not a better person on your team than a wolf in recovery. For those of you who have been longtime listeners, that we call the wolves the people who walk in and want to know what's your goal, what's your objective, and what's your outcome. And once you get a wolf on your team, oh my God, there is nobody better. Nobody better. Did I cut out again? Is that why you stopped talking?
Oh, no, I was just listening.
Okay. No, let me say this too. The other thing is that when you get a lot more comfortable in linking or articulating or defending whatever language works for you, the other thing that happens is that the people you're in conversation with start to see that it's not just your personal preference. And this is an angle I'm really pushing in the new book, that it's not just that Lisa Murphy says that kids should be allowed to stay in the block area until they're done. When children are allowed to stay in the block area until they're done, this is an existing framework that I can link everything back to. This is outside of my personal preference. But you're not going to get to that point. If the only tool in your tool belt, and I'm thinking about when I was a young teacher, was that kids learn through play, it sounds like that's just your personal philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And until you get more comfortable with linking it to the research, and there's nothing wrong with linking it to STEM or STREAM or STEAM or whatever, but it was happening all the time anyway.
Yeah. Have we beat this horse to death?
Did we make a joke with that? Did we beat the horse? Well, we took the horse to the stream and we couldn't make it drink. That was a horrible joke. We're going to get a letter.
Oh, no. Think about how much science. I mean, you could take the dead horse and you could render it down and make glue and do a craft project. You could experiment with decomposition. You could grill up some steaks. You could take bones and make one of those cartoon xylophones and boom 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 with the bones. You could braid things out of the mane and tail.
The hair.
So there'd be you could make stringed instruments, and you could make clothing or jewelry, necklaces, that kind of stuff. You could make rope. Oh my gosh, what else could you do with a dead horse, Lisa Murphy? Help me out here.
I think you covered more than I could have for
sure. You could hollow out the take the skull and hollow out the brain pan and have a soup bowl. You could use it as bait to catch another creature. You could grow worms and maggots. On and on it goes, people. Science is everywhere.
Bev used to call it sciencing.
You could science the fuck out of a dead horse.
Yes, you could.
Sciencing. Hey, people, this has been the Childcare Bar and Grill Podcast. We'd really dig it if you'd listen to another episode. And if you want to, we got that thing going on online on Wednesday evening, 7:30 Central Time. You just kind of log on through the link and we chat. And it's been a fun thing so far. And we're going to keep doing it until nobody wants to do it anymore. What else is going on,
Lisa?
Can
we log on?
Yeah, if we log on and nobody's there. Where that new book you mentioned, Lisa, do people can pre-order that on Amazon now?
Yeah, I think pre-order on Amazon. You can also pre-order with Red Leaf Press if you go directly to their website. I believe it's redleafpress.org.
I think it's org.
Org.
I think it's org.
And we passed out some flyers at the NAYC conference this past November, and I think we finally... locked on the cover, so that's exciting. So we're looking at a 2019 release date, and I'm pretty excited about that.
The pre-orders mean a lot, people too. They like to see those pre-orders. So if you want to support Lisa and the book, do the pre-order thing as a way to do that.
I think that's it. I mean, as I said in a couple episodes ago, I'm going into downtime mode. You know, a lot of the projects that get backburnered until you're not running the roads, you know, four times a week. So I'm kind of going into that season, the reflective season. That's it.
For me, it's a reflective season because I'm out in the dark a lot and you have to wear reflective clothing so I don't get run over.
Yeah, we don't need you to get run over. No, who'd run the podcast? I
mean, yeah, exactly. Who'd push the button? You'd have to find somebody else to push the button. Let's wrap this fucker up. Hey, people, okay. This has been the Childcare Bar and Grill Podcast. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.